When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Here's your money briefing for Wednesday, March 2nd. I'm J.R. Whalen for The Wall Street Journal. Inflation is running at 7.5%, but imagine if it swelled to 10 or even 15%. Well, there are plenty of people who remember when that was actually the case and what they did to keep their personal finances intact.
If we went anywhere, which was usually very short trips someplace, we always stayed at Red Roof Inns. They didn't know anything else but Motel 6 and Red Roof Inns. And in the early 80s, they all wanted Cabbage Patch dolls. And those dolls were running up to $150 each. So I got a kit and I started making them for them. And they actually loved it.
On today's show, we'll talk with two people who lived through double-digit inflation in the early 1980s and find out how they apply lessons from that era to today. That's after the break.
Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the, must not take yourself too seriously, and 6-1 since that matters, and what do I even say other than, hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all-new Bumble. With exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
A lot has changed since 40 years ago, but one thing that hasn't? Inflation. Except that today's 7.5% inflation pales in comparison to the early 1980s when it was running at nearly 15%. So how did people deal with runaway prices back then? And what lessons can we learn from them this time around? Today we'll be hearing from two people whose families found ways to make ends meet. First up, 77-year-old Linda Gadkowski lives in Florida now, but in the early 80s she lived with her husband and three daughters in Massachusetts. Linda, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you.
So, Linda, tell us about your personal finances back in the early 80s.
Well, my husband was a young, struggling doctor, and I was a school teacher. I was the homebound tutor for the town of Barnstable, Massachusetts, and we had to put ourselves through medical school, and I had to put myself through college, so we knew all about struggling. And this hit us quite hard because finally we were making money, and finally here was this terrible inflation actually taking away what I felt everything we had worked for so far.
Now, you had a busy household raising three children. So how did double-digit inflation affect how you and your husband provided for your family?
Well, you ask my children today where they ever went, if we went anywhere, which was usually very short trips someplace, we always stayed at Red Roof Inns. They didn't know anything else but Motel 6 and Red Roof Inns. And in the early 80s, they all wanted Cabbage Patch dolls. And those dolls were running up to $150 each. So I got a kit and I started making them for them. And they actually loved it. They loved the whole idea of painting the faces. And then I would take them to thrift stores because the dolls fit the 3-month infant size clothing. So they could go to the thrift store and select those clothes for the dolls. And that seemed to make them happy, considering the fact that they weren't really getting them. And the word spread that I was making these dolls, and a business ensued. So I started making them regularly. And so we were going to the thrift stores, and when we sold a doll, I shared the money with the children so that they suddenly had a little bit of something to play with. So it was quite an educational lesson because I made them save half and spend half. So they couldn't just take the money and go to the mall and buy the candy they wanted or see the show they wanted. They had to save it. So it started a very long-lasting lifetime habit of saving. And we just became more creative in the way we did things.
Tell me more about how you instilled these lessons in your daughters and how they've applied these lessons as they got older.
They're all very, very, very frugal. In our house, you boast and brag about how frugal you can be. Not how much you've spent, but how much you've saved. They were raised with me making their clothes. When my middle daughter went off to Duke for an interview, she went in a homemade dress. When my daughter, who went to William & Mary, was joining her sorority, she needed a white dress. We made that dress, okay? So those are the kinds of lessons that you learn when you actually have those experiences, and you learn that it does work and you can make it work. And to me, that's the big problem with today's world, whereby there isn't that trying to make it work experience versus, oh, poor me, I don't have this anymore. And now I'm having problems. And the advent of easy credit and being able to hide the money on a credit card and just getting another credit card, I think is a huge problem for today's younger people, because they know that they can do that. The wallets all have 7 slots so that you can get as many credit cards as you want. And so I think there's got to be a better plan in place where you learn. And each person, in order to reach a financial goal, must have a day, month, and year. Just the way it was for graduation from high school or college. They didn't ask you to come and enjoy the time. They set a date, they set a criteria, and you had to fulfill it. And that's got to be the same thing with your finances today, so that they're on target to reach their financial goals. And if you don't set that goal with a day, month, and year, you're making a mistake.
All right, that's Florida resident Linda Gadkowski. Linda, thank you so much for taking the time to be with us.
And thank you for having me.
Now, a lot of people like Linda have passed down these personal finance lessons from the 80s to their kids, but many people learned those lessons themselves at the time through their parents. For more on that, I want to bring in Dawn Kelly. She's 59 and a small business owner in Queens, New York, where she also grew up in the 1970s and early 80s. Dawn, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you for having me, JR.
So, Dawn, you were among a family of 5 growing up in Queens amid this sharply rising inflation. How did your family deal with rising prices?
Well, my mom and my dad were very thrifty. I can remember as a young girl teasing my mom about being able to get pennies from a grape, because she was a very strict saver. She taught myself and my siblings, I'm the oldest, and she always told us when we would work that the first 10% of our money should be for us because we worked hard for it. But then 10% had to go for charity. Another 10% would go for like savings or investment, right? You know, if you're a kid, you might have a banking account. And the other 70%, as I got older, you know, that would be for your bills. So I pretty much followed that my whole life. And as a kid, I got a job, you know, to help out, because I never liked the word no, you know, asking my parents for things. We had a home they had to take care of, a car, and my 2 younger siblings. So I went and got a job. It was my first real job, you know, touching money and getting a paycheck. And that gave me my own money. And so I learned from having my own money and then also helping my mom with the checkbook about how far dollars and cents really go or not.
You know, Dawn, like today, back then, people were dealing with rising gas prices, and cars in those days weren't particularly fuel efficient. How did your family deal with, in particular, the rising gas prices?
My dad got a car, and he came home with this green station wagon. And, you know, as a youngster, I was just like, ugh, you know, a station wagon? And I think we had that car forever, like forever. You know, because everybody had kind of fancy cars, but that also taught me then that it wasn't about being fancy. It was about having what you need to get you from point A to point B. And I'm sure that that car was a gas guzzler, right? And I can remember my dad leaving the house really early, trying to, I guess, be first at some gas stations. I don't know, you know, because I wasn't with him, but I know that that's what he would say to my mom. I got to go. I got to get out there before, you know, the rest of the people and get some gas. Because I also remember there was a time where you couldn't get it. You couldn't find it. Like, gas actually was, like, hard to find.
Now, we also have you in our Wall Street Journal story talking about some creative ways that your father tried to save on gas after he put the gas in the car. Can you tell us about that?
Sometimes... sometimes like rolling down, driving in neutral, you know, not necessarily hitting the gas. I can remember that. You know, it was kind of like a game. You know, I like roller coasters. So it was always, it seemed like a game to me.
You know, Dawn, today's younger generation is probably experiencing rising inflation, or at least inflation rising at this pace for the first time. What kind of advice would you give them?
Well, I have a lot of young people around me. So I have my two children who are in their 30s. And, you know, I have been advising them for a very long time about savings and investing, sharing some of those same lessons about the 70-30 principle that my mother taught me. But also, I taught my kids about putting money in their 401ks no matter what, you know, investing in the stock market, even though right now the stock market isn't that great. But still having some money in the stock market, because the savings, you know, putting your money in the bank is getting you 1% or less in terms of, you know, a bang on your buck. So I've taught my kids to also delay purchases, you know, you know, save something for a rainy day. You can't get everything you want, you know, today. You may have to save and, you know, starve yourself a little bit until you could get make that big purchase. I don't know if it's a new car or if it's a whatever it is, some want to go on a big vacation. You might not be able to do it today. But if you save up, you will be able to do it at a later date.
All right. That's New York resident Dawn Kelly. Dawn, thank you so much for taking the time to chat.
Thank you so much for having me, J.R. Whalen.
And that's your Money Briefing. I'm J.R. Whalen for The Wall Street Journal.